We are continuing our Ask the Pastor series, and today's topic is loneliness. How do we understand it, and how do we respond to it as Christians? How does that work in our lives? Well, the first thing I want to say is that we don't get a pass on loneliness. None of us ever gets a pass on loneliness. It may be just a little nagging something in our lives, or it could be that loneliness has become a really big part of our lives, a very severe sort of thing that drives us, aches inside of us, longs for something different, almost gets desperate. Loneliness can be like this. It's pushing us to fill some kind of void in our lives for relationship, for community, for friendship. We are people who need this in our lives. It's a deficit of love, we could say, this loneliness. You know, it's interesting, if you first lesson for today has the creation story there with God creating the man, and of course he notes right away that it is not good for the man to be alone. And when I hear that, I think of how this is before the fall. So this is how we're created right up front, that we are in need of relationship. We are people who need to have love and receive love in our lives, that God has made us this way. This was the decision of God to create the man and the woman in his image. Well, having said that, I know that we've probably all looked around and have seen or met a few people who really don't seem to need many people in their lives. And I know some people are just simply wired that way, where they're kind of, they're good at being alone and being loners, literally not needing much for relationship in their lives. But I think for most of us, we really do need relationship in our lives. It's not optional. We're not well. We're not even healthy without relationships. And the time that I think that is most critical is when we're not doing well. Maybe we've had some sickness that has knocked us down. Maybe we've had some losses that have really plagued us. It's in those times where, when we are alone, when we're isolated, that we can really not feel well at all. In fact, I think of loneliness as a multiplier of our experience of pain. And I want you to catch that. I think of loneliness as a multiplier of our experience of pain. So that means if you are, say, sick and trying to recover in a hospital, if you're lonely, if you're isolated at that moment, that guess what? Your level of pain is going to be much higher than someone who's well-surrounded and supported. Your experience of that. Similarly around a loss, that if you are unsupported, if you're lonely and isolated, your experience of the pain that you're going through and the loss you're going through is going to be much higher. Much higher. You know, having said that, I look across our country and I kind of get worried. Because, you know, we're much more scattered, so there's not so much family around to be supportive and caring for us anymore. I look around and you read the statistics around the fact that people don't get involved in groups. So they don't come to church as much as they used to do. They're much more, I think, isolated and thus end up to be more lonely. Which means their experience is going to be more negative of a life, because life is hard. There's always hard things coming. And so if we're lonely and isolated, our experience of that pain of those and the trouble of those is going to be much higher. So I'm afraid that we as a nation could end up much more grumpy, if you will, much more seeing the world in a negative way. And I don't think that's going to bode well for us. Relationships and with some depth really, really matter. Well, what do we do with our loneliness? So loneliness, I'm saying, is kind of this pain of our souls, that when, especially when it gets bad. It's like a pain in the soul. Much like, say, we experience pain in our bodies. If you have an ache in your leg, you know something's wrong there, and you need to take care of it somehow or another. Well, the same thing, I believe, goes for loneliness in our souls. It's telling us something's wrong. We need to respond and reach out and, of course, build friendships, reach out and connect to people. But having said that, it's not always so easy or obvious how we go about that. And we're not often in a very good place to do that. You know, one story I can remember from my life as a young high school student, I was socially awkward and lonely, and I wanted relationships. And I found the most accepting group in my house, in my high school, was the not popular partying group. Catch that? The not popular partying group. They were glad to have anybody join them. Come on over to Tony's Garage. We're going to have a party Friday night. So what do? I get sucked into it because it was easy. And they were accepting. Anybody could come over. And of course, there's a long-term downside by just going with the people who might be most accepting and joining in their activities like drinking to take care of your loneliness. Obviously, some big downsides to that path. I think another thing we struggle with is when we're lonely and need to do something is, again, we're not doing well. And we have some of these other things making our loneliness worse. And I want to name a couple today. The first one, is loss. When we're sad, even depressed around loss, we're very sensitive. We're very concerned about being hurt more. And so we can tend to get protective, even defensive. So the very time we need to be reaching out and contacting to each other is the very time we're kind of holding people off and giving them signals that don't come too close to me. And we need people close that might hear us and listen to us. The same, another big dynamic there that's incredibly powerful is shame. When we feel ashamed of ourselves for whatever reason, maybe we've made a big mistake, maybe we've just grown up with the knowledge that we've been a bad person or we feel that way about ourselves, we're sensitive again. The very time we need positive people and supportive people in our life kind of to help us work through this stuff and to kind of diffuse the extra energy it gives around to our loneliness, we're pushing them away again or we're defensive about it. And so we're not helping ourselves. My hope for us as a church is that we can be a safe and supportive place for people to reach out and find. I hope you see us that way, that we can grow, in fact, in that, our abilities here. You know, we say Ascension is a community of grace called to serve. A community. We are a community is the first word we say. And one of the things I think we can do to help each other is kind of look around and make sure we're checking in with people. Because a lot of times, the very time they need somebody in their life is the very time they might be a little defensive and maybe a little protective of themselves. But that we ask them, how are you doing? Not just the quick passing, how you're doing, but the one that takes the time and is really looking interested into how they are doing. And letting them talk and share some of that, of what's going on in their lives. That we might be a community. Well, the second part of this really has to do with our loneliness as it applies to God, to our spiritual life. I think much of what I've said so far really gets at that we can feel lonely for God. The ways we talk about that, we might say God feels like he's missing, God is distant, God is absent, all that kind of language that we use when we talk about God and wishing God were closer to us. And what we're longing for is that experience of love with God that fills that lonely void. God has built us to long for God, to want God in our lives, to reach out and to seek God. And when we do that, when we know God is there for us, God, the Almighty over all things, we know that someone's there that is bigger and greater than all the troubles and trials we face, and that sense of overwhelm goes down that we experience in our life. That sense of being out of control, that sense that makes our pain and our suffering all that much worse is really undermined. And we can be in a much better place when we're connected with God and that experience of love with God is there for us. Well, the Bible helps us with this sort of thing. I think particularly in the Psalms, it helps us with this. And the Psalm for today gets right at it. It says, as a deer longs for streams of living water, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul longs for God, for the living God. And again, I'd land on the words living God. And that, I think, is a relational term. So say that we can speak to God and God is going to listen and God is going to speak back to us, that we'll be in conversation with God. Again, that experience of love and care, of connection with God that is so critical to feeling that sense of longing and loneliness. So the psalmist is having us, helping us shape the words to say what we need to say about this loneliness, this longing for God that we have. Well, longing for God, of course, ends up to be kind of a seeking often. That we're seeking God, and that's kind of a strange thing because we believe God is all places and all things, even around and in our lives. So how can we seek for something that's just all around and even in our lives? Well, I think what it gets at is that we've gotten to a place where we lack awareness. That's likely we've been so busy or so distracted or so caught up in the stuff of this world that we really haven't taken time to pay attention, to talk to God, to hear God's word much in our lives. We're just so distracted around these things. And so what this gets me to is what is seeking? Seeking for me is first stopping all this and attending to God. Stopping and attending to God. I think Jesus did that in our gospel reading today. He was all under the crush of people wanting to be healed and everybody wanting to see him. It says he went off by himself to pray. He went off by himself alone so he could pray. He stopped what he was doing so that he could attend to God in prayer and listen to God and talk to God and do all that. And he did that alone. And I would encourage us all to consider that, doing that by ourselves as well. But there's another piece to this, and that is we can do that very thing by coming together on this Sabbath day. Sabbath day is about stopping and attending to God. Stopping all that busyness, all the distractions, and attending to God. And we've gathered here together to do that because there's something powerful also about supporting ourselves as we attend to God and listen to God, that there's a sense of presence that comes from that, so that we reach out together at the Lord's table, that we listen together to God's word, that God is here for us. I'm with you, says the Lord, always graciously loving you. The risen Lord Jesus is here. Well, today I hope to be supportive to you in your longing for God and helping you find your words. And I think the hymn that we're going to sing next really gives voice to that, right from the heart. Give me Jesus in the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me this sense of fulfillment, the sense of being connected that comes from Jesus. So let us join in singing this hymn.